You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It's Matt Wehmeyer pinch hitting for Tim McMaster this week as we are talking Blue Jays baseball with Mike Wilner, Blue Jays broadcaster, and Mike kind enough to devote his time filling in for Gregor Chisholm this week, who is on vacation. So, Mike, welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us. And we're going to do something a little bit different this week as we have kind of exhausted the hot stove news cycle so far, because after the winter meetings, things cool down considerably. So with that in mind, we're going to do kind of a holiday-themed podcast here as the Christmas and Hanukkah season is just days away. That is certainly hard to believe. So, Mike, with that in mind, I want to ask you, as you look at this Blue Jays roster and the makeup of this team, the most important question I feel is, who would make the best department store Santa Claus on this Blue Jays team right now?
Well, that is the question that everybody needs the answer to right away. It's true. Are we talking about players only, or is the coaching staff included?
That's up to you. If there's a coach you feel could fill that role, then by all means.
Yeah, see, I think John Gibbons would be a terrific department store Santa, the Blue Jays manager. If you look, last year the Jays had a Sports Illustrated cover, or 2015, the Sports Illustrated cover, and the pose that Gibby had in that one was like perfect for that. He's always smiling. He's always got that calm and relaxed attitude. When I think of who on the Blue Jays that would be, I think Gibby's perfect.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, and I do recall that SI cover from last year when he had all of his toys at his disposal.
That's
the David Price and Josh Donaldson and Encarnacion, and what manager wouldn't be happy to have those underneath his Christmas tree? So John Gibbons it is, a great choice for a department store Santa. As Mike, we move on to question number two. Of course, as we all know, that Rudolph is the undisputed leader of Santa's reindeer each and every December 24th/5th. So if you had to pick a Rudolph, if you will, of the Blue Jays clubhouse, who would that be right now?
See, I wonder about that. Is Rudolph the undisputed leader, or did he have to scrap hard and win the favor of people who weren't all that excited to have him around at the beginning? And I don't know if there's a Blue Jay that kind of fits that description. I mean, everyone's happy to have everybody around, but you think about a guy like Marco Estrada, who, when the Blue Jays brought him over, it was seen kind of almost as a salary dump move, and they thought he would be a swingman, pitch out of the bullpen, and didn't even make the rotation out of spring training his first year. And since he became a member of the Blue Jays rotation, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball for 2 years. He set a major league record this year with, I think it was 14 straight starts of at least 6 innings and no more than 5 hits. And it's the first one who's ever done that in history. So he'd be that scrappy guy. But as far as the leader of the team, I think very quietly it's Troy Tulowitzki. And, he's a guy who's been through pretty much everything there is to go through in this game. He's consummate professional. Everybody looks to him for example and for guidance. His words carry so much weight in that room, maybe more than anyone who's been around in the last couple of decades. So team leader, he's not a rah-rah guy or anything like that. But it's absolutely, everybody looks up to Troy Tulowitzki.
So, Mike, I'll make a couple of points. The first one is, you are the first person I've talked to bring up that kind of aspect of Rudolph, that, yes, at first he was not accepted by the other reindeer. He had to really, work his way into their good graces and become the leader that he would become. So that's a great angle to kind of take on the Rudolph question. I applaud that for you. And the second one is Tulo's a great answer. I'm a bit surprised, though, because for a guy that's been there only a year and a half to already be considered a clubhouse leader, is that surprising to you, even despite his overall resume? But again, as far as his Blue Jay tenure, it's been rather brief.
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising to me, for sure. Although, Josh Donaldson's only been there 2 years and Russ Martin's only been there 2 years as well. So Tulo came in the middle of last season, so he's had a year and a half. But yeah, with Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion having been there for a very long time, Edwin is Edwin is really quiet. He is universally respected in that room. I don't think there's any question about that, but he's really quiet. But the way that people talk about Troy Tulowitzki is on a whole other level than anybody. The way Josh Donaldson talks about him, the way Marcus Stroman talks about him, the way, you know, Aaron Sanchez talks about him and Russ Martin. It really is something.
And that's amazing to hear, because that's a guy that I would not have considered simply because of his, the brief amount of time he's been in a Blue Jay uniform. But to be that respected in that short amount of time really says a lot about the makeup and the character of Troy Tulowitzki. Well said, Mike. Question number three. After a difficult 2016 season, if you had to pick one player that should stand underneath a mistletoe to kind of kiss and make up with the Blue Jay fan base and hope for a fresh start in 2017, who would that player be?
That's tough off a team that went to the ALCS for a second straight year. I mean, I guess the easy answer is Justin Smoke or Melvin Upton Jr., but neither of those guys were really full-time players for the Blue Jays, but they were both just awful in the second half. I think Smoke had one hit in September, but he didn't play much, and he was left off the roster at the beginning of the ALCS anyway. And Melvin Upton was just a disaster from the moment that he came over. Those are the two guys who may, you know, be asked to play a little bit more of a prominent role next year, who are coming off bad seasons. I would say Drew Storen, but he was traded away in August, so there's nothing for him to make up for anymore.
Yeah, I would say good answers there between Upton Jr. and Smoke. We know what these guys can do. They didn't demonstrate it with the Blue Jays last year, but that just sets the stage, hopefully, best case scenario, for a bounce back 2017 season. Mike, the next question is, let's assume that every player on the team is an 8-year-old boy. So which player in that circumstance would be the most excited and the most hyper to run downstairs on Christmas morning and start tearing open gifts?
There are three ways you could go here. I mean, if anyone's ever seen Jason Grilley coming off the mound after he ends an inning with a big strikeout, there are very, very few people who are more excited and excitable than he is. Marcus Stroman is right up there as well. Stroman is as animated as anyone I've ever seen. Unfortunately, sometimes there are opponents who take offense to it. But Stroman, he will scream at himself a lot over the course of a start. So he's excited and animated. But I think the answer for this one would be Joe Biagini, the Rule 5 pick who emerged as one of the top three relief pitchers on the team down the stretch, didn't give up a run in the playoffs, didn't give up a home run until September, and he was on Jimmy Fallon last month or the month before, trying to high-five him from the audience. He missed the high-five, and Fallon invited him back on to do it. He is always on Biagini, always kidding around, very rarely gives a straight answer. Interviews with him have included him waxing eloquent about finger painting. He's talked about having a cat growing up who was named The Cat. There's nothing that Joe Biagini won't joke about, so I'm thinking it's probably him.
Yeah, I think every team needs a Joe Biagini. Some teams have them, but by far not every team does. So between himself and grilled cheese and Mr. Stroman, three guys competing to get down to the tree first on Christmas Day, that would be a scene for sure. And Mike, to wrap up as we transition from Christmas to New Year's, quite simply for this Blue Jay team, coming off two straight playoff appearances, two straight LCS appearances, what should their 2017 New Year's resolution be?
Well, hopefully to take that next step and not move backwards. And it's going to be tough with no Edwin, with no Bautista. It looks like those ships have sailed, but hopefully they can continue to ride what was the best starting rotation in the American League by a quarter of a run over everybody else, and continue to get great work out of the pen from Biagini and Grilley and Roberto Osuna, who's, you know, might be the best young closer in history. He's got more saves by the age of 21 than anyone has ever had before. That's, you know, they're trying to transition into a bit of a younger team, into a bit of a more athletic team. And we'll see how successful they are at that. But obviously what everybody wants is for them to get another win or two or three and take that next step and move beyond just the LCS.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. The Royals got him 2 years ago, the Indians this past year. But do not count out the Blue Jays in the AL East, as they should figure to be in the playoff mix once again. And maybe this is the year that they get back to the Fall Classic for the first time since Mr. Carter walked him off all the way back in 1993. Mike, this has been a pleasure. We appreciate the time today as you're filling in for Gregor Chisholm. And at some point, I hope our paths will cross again for more Blue Jays discussion. So a happy holiday to you and your family. Hope it was fun for you.
Thanks. Yeah, that was fun. Always happy to pinch hit for Gregor.
Awesome, awesome. Mike Wilner, thanks so much. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Toronto Blue Jays. Matt Wehmeyer filling in for Tim McMaster this week as we talk O's baseball on this Monday, December 19th, with our Orioles reporter, Brittany Giroli. Brittany, we thank you so much for the time. And, Brittany, we're kind of in a lull period. It's post-winter meetings, and a lot of the free agents still out there for the taking. Probably not going to sign until after the turn of the new year, 2017. With that in mind, being 6 days until Christmas, we're going to do kind of a Christmas-themed podcast today, if you will. So, Brittany, want to start out as you look up and down this O's roster. A very important question to ask yourself is, which player would make the best department store Santa Claus, do you think, of this current team?
I'm going to go with Chris Davis. Not because he resembles Santa Claus at all, but because he's very gregarious, he's funny, he's silly, he's loud. I think he would have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, sounds like it. Just, put on the suit, throw on the beard, and I think he would pass for jolly old St. Nick, no problem whatsoever. So Chris Davis, a good choice there. So, Brittany, question number two. As we all know, Rudolph is the undisputed leader of Santa's reindeer. So when you look in this O's clubhouse throughout this past season, 2016, who would you say is the Rudolph, if you will, of that bunch?
It's got to be Adam Jones, the heart and soul of the team. Another loud guy, commands a lot of respect, and everyone kind of falls in line when he speaks his mind.
And, Brittany, is he a guy that's, always kind of taken on that role, or is that something he's kind of grown into, as he's piled up the years and the All-Star appearances and so forth?
He's always wanted to, but I think when he first got here, he kind of thought he could be the leader, and he was too young, and it's certainly something that you have to develop and earn to some extent as a player. So it's definitely a role that he's embraced. But one that he's grown into over the last few years.
Yeah, and I think that's the natural progression for most players. Even if they are vocal, you kind of know your spot as a rookie, as a youngster. But Adam Jones, one of the most respected players in the game, one of the most accomplished as well. So he's definitely earned the right to speak his voice within that Baltimore clubhouse, no question. Brittany, interesting one here. Question three. After a difficult 2016 season, which player should stand underneath the mistletoe, so to speak, with the fan base to kind of, kiss and make up, wipe the slate clean, and get off to a fresh start in 2017?
There's a lot of options here, but I'm going to go with Caleb Joseph. The poor guy didn't get an RBI all of last season. Said he's still hearing it from the fans when I saw him last week at one of the Orioles holiday charity events. So if there's anybody who deserves a little holiday cheer, a little fan kindness, it's probably going to be Caleb Joseph.
I think that's an excellent choice. And you say that, he hears it from the fans. Is it good-natured, or is there some, legit, professional, and I don't want to use the word embarrassment, but, is it something that he's really kind of ashamed of, that he didn't get an RBI all last year?
I mean, it was definitely frustrating. But I think a lot of the people he hears from on Twitter and such are probably not Orioles fans. They're probably fans of other teams and just trying to give him a hard time. But it's something he said he's put behind him. He's had RBIs before in the major leagues. I think if it was a rookie season kind of thing, he might be taking it harder. But he's a good-natured guy, and I think he's got the right mindset with it.
Yeah, and given, some of the people you find on Twitter and social media these days, it helps to have a thick skin. and a good-natured disposition. Caleb Joseph has both, and hopefully a bounce-back season in the RBI department is underneath the tree for him, I guess, here in 2017. Brittany, let's go here. Question four, assuming every player on the team is an eight-year-old boy, which player would be the most hyper and excited to wake up on Christmas morning and open up all their gifts?
This is another one that's tough because there are so many of them. I'm going to go with two, with Jonathan Scope and Manny Machado, just because the two of them together act like that hyper eight-year-old. They've got handshakes on the field. They're very good friends. And I could very easily see the two of them kind of competing to see who gets under the Christmas tree fast enough to get their presents.
That would be quite the viral video. And if it came down to a foot race down the stairs, who would win between those two, Manny or Jonathan?
I think it would be Manny. I think Manny would take him for sure.
Yeah, Manny sounds like quite the athlete. No offense, you know, nothing against Jonathan Scope. He's no slouch, but Manny would be tough to keep away from that tree on Christmas morning from the sounds of it. So, Brittany, transitioning from the Christmas topics to New Year's, of course, you know, every person, nearly every person, makes a New Year's resolution, and very few of us actually keep it. But let's assume that the Orioles keep theirs. Quite simply, what will the Baltimore Orioles resolution be for New Year's for 2017?
I think if I had to pick one thing, it would be to get a starting rotation that is competitive. Because not just this year, but the last few years, they've had to rely on their bullpen so much. They're going to put their trust in the starters. They're not going to acquire a starting pitcher this winter for the first time in a while. They're not looking to upgrade that rotation. So I think if there's one wish that they would feel pretty good about, if we're sitting here a year from now and we say that it came true, it would be that starting rotation stepped it up and delivered.
And, Brittany, to that end, you said that they're really not going to explore free agency options to, you know, kind of upgrade things beyond Chris Tillman. Do you see Dan Duquette trying to work on a trade to really bolster things, or like you said, maybe look internally for solutions instead?
Yeah, no, they're not even going to trade. They think internally that the options are there. They feel like some of these guys had better second half, and certainly there's some optimism around guys like Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy that they have yet to hit their ceiling. Tillman's been a pretty consistent force, and they also feel like Yubaldo Jimenez, Yovani Gallardo, and Wade Miley, all in contract years, should all step up as well. And I know I said six names, and that's because right now there are six names in contention for five spots. All of that competition should also bode well for these guys in terms of lighting that competitive fire.
Yeah, I think the Orioles could, like you said, you know, have that competition for the, you know, six pitchers and five spots. That will bode well, and they could have one of those, you know, sneaky good rotations that maybe on paper doesn't blow you away, but with some guys, some veterans in contract years, maybe they become the surprise team of the American League in 2016, in 2017. I mean, you're behind already. Brittany, thank you so much for the contributions. A happy holiday to you and yours. And we will talk again very soon, I'm sure. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Baltimore Orioles. Matt Wehmeyer pinch hitting this week for Tim McMaster as we are talking Yankees baseball with Brian Hoke, our Yankees reporter. Brian, thank you so much for the time, and here it is, just days away from Christmas. That's rather hard to believe, but in the holiday spirit, because the hot stove has gone a little bit lukewarm the last few weeks, as is custom this time of year, we're going to kind of do a Christmas-themed segment here as we bring up some Christmas topics with regards to the 2016 Yankees. So with that in mind, Brian, the first question I pose to you of the players on the Yankee roster right now, which one would make the very best department store Santa Claus?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll go with CeCe Sabathia. I think that he'd be up for the task. He did put out a book a few years ago called CeCe Claus, where he was filling the role of Jolly St. Nick. So I'm going to go with CeCe. I think he'd do a good job at it. Big belly laugh. And, that's my choice right there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious choice, given his gregarious nature and the way that he is around kids. I think he would make the perfect Santa Claus on this Yankee team. Brian, moving on to question number two. Of course, as we all know, Rudolph is the undisputed leader of Santa's reindeer. So with that in mind, who do you feel is the Rudolph, if you will, of the Yankees clubhouse right now?
Wow. You know, there's been a leadership void, I think, since Derek Jeter's captaincy and the end of that. I think that they filled that by having guys like Brian McCann, Brett Gardner, Sabathia, Mark Teixeira. But some of those names I just mentioned have disappeared. You know, Teixeira's retired now. Sabathia's in the final year of his contract. Gardner could be traded by opening day, and McCann has already been traded. So, you know, this may be a time where the Baby Bombers have to step in and maybe take over. I think that Matt Holliday is going to be something of a veteran presence there. But I don't think I really answered your question. I think that of the names I'll say Brett Gardner. He's always at his locker. He's a stand-up guy. Good, bad, wins, losses, he's always available. So I say he is one of the leaders of that team, and he might be the Rudolph right now.
Yeah, I would agree that he is the leading candidate. He's the guy whose lead everybody would follow, a la Rudolph. And, you know, as far as leadership, I know that there's, yes, 10 people. You get 10 different theories and opinions on it. But in your mind, is it a thing where, you know, maybe Joe Girardi goes up to player X and says, okay, you're going to lead the team? Or is it more of a thing where it's an organic thing where it just happens, it just evolves over the course of time?
I think it's going to happen organically, and I think it did in the void after Jeter retired. I think that you don't necessarily need one guy. You know, I know that Derek was the captain, but you know, Mariano Rivera was the leader of that bullpen for so many years, and so the bullpen guys gravitated toward Mariano, and the position players gravitated toward Derek. So I think it can be a lot of different guys spread around. I think Sabathia can lead the pitching staff for sure. So it could definitely be an organic thing where a bunch of different guys step in there.
Yeah, it's a good point. Different roles call for different leaders and different types of leadership. So maybe that's what becomes of the Yankees as this younger and younger clubhouse comes into their own, starting with the 2017 season. Brian, see how this one grabs you. After a difficult 2016, which player should stand underneath the mistletoe to kind of kiss and make up with the Yankee fan base and hope for a fresh start for 2017?
Well, you know what? I'll go Chase Headley on that one. I think that he actually did a pretty good job. If you look back at the numbers, I think his birthday was somewhere in the first week of May. And if you look at that from there on, he did pretty well. The problem was he was just so terrible in April that he had about 150. He had no extra base hits for the entire first month of the season. The Yankees didn't play very well the first month. So I think that Chase Headley's become something of a kind of a whipping boy there for the fan base. Look, is he an all-star third baseman? No, but I think he's serviceable. He played good defense last year. I think that he's got some making up to do with the fan base. But if you've got that guy in your lineup 140 games a year, playing third base, hitting in the bottom third of your lineup, you should be able to win games with Chase Headley at third base. So I think that Yankee fans have been hard on him, but lay off a little bit and you know, give him a chance.
Yeah, wipe the slate clean for 2017 and see what he can do with a full productive, healthy season. And Brian, I'm going to be honest, I was a bit surprised. I thought your answer would be Jacoby Ellsbury. Is he kind of, if Chase Headley is number one, is he 1A?
I did think about Ellsbury as I was answering that question. And I think that, look, you'd like to see one of the years of what the Yankees paid for with Ellsbury. They paid him like an elite center fielder, and he has not been that for the Yankees. And nobody's asking him to be the 30 home run guy he was that one year in Boston. But just to stay healthy, be on the field, do what Jacoby Ellsbury can do, because when he is right and when he's pumping on all cylinders, he is a top-notch player. The problem is with the Yankees, you just haven't seen it that much.
Yeah, the consistency has certainly been a problem. The health has been a problem. But when he is right and when Brett Gardner's right, that is a lethal 1-2 combination that nobody wants to face in the American League, that is for sure. Brian, curious to hear your answer for this one, considering the youth now on this Yankee team, but let's assume that every player on the team is an 8-year-old boy. Which player would then be the most hyper and the most excited to run downstairs on Christmas Day and start opening gifts?
Wow. Can we put Nick Swisher back on the team? That would be my one choice. Absolutely. Wow, that is a really good question. You know, I think, can I have a tie between Didi Gregorius and Starlin Castro?
Of course.
Up the middle. I think those two, you put them 8 years old in their pajamas, they are going to be running downstairs, and it's going to be, you know, they did that reenactment of the Step Brothers movie during spring training. I think that would be awesome to watch the two of them just rip into their presents and go crazy with whatever toys they had under the tree.
Yeah, they'll be the ones getting up mom and dad at 5 a.m. and all bloodshot eyes. And, you know, let's start. It's Christmas Day. You know, that's what the calendar says. So I would love to see the two of them tear into those gifts. That would be a scene. Brian, transitioning here from Christmas to New Year's, quite simply, we all make resolutions and very few of us keep them. But what will the New York Yankees' resolution for 2017 be?
Make the playoffs. This team does not have a playoff victory since 2012. The last playoff victory came before Derek Jeter broke his ankle. So this is going back a long time now. I know they did get to the playoff game last year. That was 9 innings. Dallas Keuchel and the Astros sent them home. This team needs to get to the playoffs. They need to start winning in the playoffs. That's what the Yankees are. That's what they're built around. That's what it's got to be. They got to get there. They got to resolve to get there. And come hell or high water, they really got to bring it this year because the drought has gone on long enough, I think.
Yeah, it's been a, by Yankee standards, a biblical drought, like you said. No playoff wins here in 4 years. And maybe the Bombers step up to the challenge in 2017 and get the Yankees back in the postseason. Time will tell. Great stuff, as always, from Brian Hoke, our MLB.com Yankees reporter. Brian, happy holidays to you and your family, and we will talk again shortly, I'm sure. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, New York Yankees. Matt Wehmeyer pitch hitting this week for Tim McMaster as we are talking Rays baseball today with Bill Chastain, our Rays reporter. Bill, thank you so much for the time. And, Bill, of course, no secret, we are just a couple of days away from Christmas, and with that in mind, as the hot stove has kind of gone lukewarm here in the last couple of weeks after the winter meetings, I thought we'd switch things up a little bit and do kind of a Christmas and New Year's theme podcast. So, Bill, with that in mind, first thing I want to ask you is, of the players on the Rays roster right now, which one of them would make the very best department store Santa Claus in your mind?
I'd have to go with Logan Forsythe on that one. He's kind of stoic, but he's a really happy guy, and he's a very nice guy. I could see him not losing his patience like I would imagine a lot of department store Santas are prone to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That's as much fun as it seems at the onset. When you get the kids on your lap and they start not cooperating, it can be quite the endeavor. So to have a guy like Logan Forsythe remain patient, I think is very much key to being a successful department store Santa. So good answer there. Bill, question number two. Of course, as we all know, that Rudolph is the undisputed leader of Santa's reindeer. So with that in mind, who would you say is the Rudolph, if you will, within that Rays clubhouse?
Evan Longoria is the undisputed leader, and maybe not so vocal, but I think he has, you know, behind the scenes, he works with all the guys. He leads by example. You know, he busts his butt every night. He's a hard worker, and he's been there and he's done it. So, and then you look at the numbers he put up this year. You know, that's a pretty good good leader on the field, and then what he's doing behind the scenes. He's definitely got the shiny red nose.
Yeah, I would agree. That's a pretty good choice there in Mr. Longoria. And you know, Bill, having covered Evan's career for the entirety of his career, all with Tampa Bay, of course. How have you seen him evolve from his days as, you know, a highly touted rookie to one of the more established stars in Major League Baseball? How has that evolution process gone in becoming the leader that he is today for this team?
Well, you know, first he was, you know, just the flash, you know, rookie who could do it all. And he's, you know, evolved nicely into this leadership role. And I think a lot of it is just the consistency and professionalism he's shown throughout his career. And you know, I know Rays fans, it was nice to see him kind of rebound back to have such a good season. And of course, the rebound in his case is really not that far. He's been putting up solid numbers throughout his career, but last year was a special year number-wise.
Yeah, I would agree that 2015, maybe some seeds of doubt planted that, well, he's not quite the player he once was, and then he bounces back in 2016 by putting up those Longoria-esque numbers and to quell some of those fears that maybe the drop-off was beginning. But he is still, after so many years, one of baseball's most consistent and talented performers, no question. Bill, moving on to question number three. After a difficult 2016 season, which player do you think should stand underneath the mistletoe with the fan base to kind of kiss and make up and hope for a fresh start and a clean slate here in 2017?
Well, that one's kind of a difficult situation because it implies that he had ill will, sort of. But I would have to go with Chris Archer on that one because the expectations were so high for him last year. And he still pitched well, still is supposedly has, you know, most think he's got some of the best stuff in baseball. But, you know, some of the numbers that a lot of people point to, just like almost losing 20 games, you know, that kind of goes against him, even though I think he was, you know, throwing good pitches and showing good stuff. I think people expected more.
Yeah, I would agree. I know that at this time last year, you know, when you talked about the Cy Young candidates heading into a fresh season, Chris Archer's name was right there at the top of that list, along with Chris Sale and Felix Hernandez, who's there every year. Didn't quite work out for Archer. But, Bill, do you think, is he one of those cases that he was just victimized by some terrible luck? And when you look at the peripheral numbers, the Ks per nine and the whip and the fielding independent pitching, I think those numbers were still pretty solid, and it leads credence to the theory that, yes, the one-loss record was ugly, but he was still a very solid pitcher last year.
Oh, I totally agree. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people put him up there as a potential Cy Young Award guy this year. He works hard. He's out there every day doing what he can. In the offseason, he does what he can to get better. But it was a case of where the expectations were really high, and the numbers didn't represent maybe exactly what he was doing out there.
Yeah, I would agree. And maybe, after having the season that he had in 2016, if those expectations come down just a little bit, he can relax and get back to being the pitcher that we know that he can be, and be a legit Cy Young candidate here coming up in the 2017 season. Bill, question number four, let's assume that every player on the team is an eight-year-old boy. Which player would be the most excited, the most hyper to run downstairs and be the first one to open up gifts on Christmas morning?
That's a tough one, too, but I'm going to go with Steven Souza Jr. Based on the way he plays and kind of his exuberance, he's the guy who's always running into walls. Sometimes he's diving for a ball even when he doesn't have a chance. He dives into the stands. Sometimes you get the super nice guy, and sometimes you think, he's almost like a big Labrador out there, chasing a tennis ball. So I'm going to go with Steven.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice, given his makeup and his personality. I think that he would win the foot race to the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, and he seems like a guy that definitely looks forward to this holiday each and every year. So, Bill, transitioning from Christmas to New Year's, quite simply, we all make resolutions, and very few of us keep them. But let's say that the Rays keep theirs. What is the Tampa Bay Rays 2017 New Year's resolution going to be?
That one's easier. Happier outcomes for their fans.
I think that's a good one, too. That's coming off a difficult 2016 in a very competitive AL East. You can make the case that is the best division in baseball. The Rays want to give their fans more to cheer for here coming up in the 2017 season. Bill Chastain, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and a happy holiday to you and your family in a new year as well. And I'm sure we'll be talking plenty coming up after the new year here in 2017. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Tampa Bay Rays. Matt Wehmeyer pitch hitting for Tim McMaster this week as we're talking Red Sox baseball with Ian Brown, our Red Sox reporter. And Ian, thank you so much for the time. And of course, we're just days away from Christmas, Ian. And since the hot stove has cooled off a little bit, following the winter meetings, I thought we would switch things up today and do a little Christmas and New Year's discussion regarding the 2016 Red Sox. So with that in mind, first thing I want to ask you is, of the players currently on the Red Sox roster, which player would make the best department store Santa Claus?
I think he just retired. I mean, really, what's better Santa Claus than David Ortiz? This guy, talking about somebody who just, gave that spirit and, portrayed that kind of spirit of, giving person. So I think out of respect for David and what he's meant to the Red Sox through the years, I think we have to give him the outgoing Santa Claus award. And we'll figure out next year who the replacement could be. But for this year, you got to give it to Big Poppy.
Yeah, those are some big shoes to fill, no question. And I'm sure at some point during his Red Sox career or during his 20 years in the majors, he had to have dressed up in a Santa outfit at some point, right?
He did. I went to a community event a few years ago back when David had his own restaurant. I think it was in Framingham. And, I actually had some pictures of David dressed as Santa Claus. It was pretty funny. But the kids had a lot of fun seeing him dressed up as Santa. But yeah, I mean, he's just what a great. I think people are going to remember him as much for his spirit as they will for some of the stuff he did on the field.
Oh, no question. Poppy Claus put a lot of smiles on some kids' faces over the years. No question about that at all. So, Ian, moving on to question number two. Of course, I think for this one we could say Ortiz is the answer to this too. But I'll give you the question first, as we know that Rudolph is the undisputed leader of Santa's reindeer. So I think that, Ortiz would have been the Rudolph of the Red Sox clubhouse in 2016. But with him gone, who replaces him as the new Rudolph of the Red Sox clubhouse?
Dustin Pedroia. I mean, this guy, he's been leading this team for a long time. I mean, David and Dustin have sort of been co-leaders. Dustin a little bit more, fiery. David more kind of bringing guys together. But, definitely Dustin Pedroia has all the qualities of a leader.
Was it kind of a good cop, bad cop thing between those two, where maybe Ortiz is the one that would, pat you on the shoulder and lend a helping hand, and Pedroia was more the guy that kind of got in your face a little bit if you're not doing your job?
Yeah, I think Pedroia, so much of it was lead by example, because you saw that he was the hardest worker on the team. And, you didn't want to let him down, because you see him out there, you see him at the first one of the ballpark every day. So, yeah, I think the guys can't help but feed off that energy that he always brings.
Yeah, Pedroia, like we've been saying, to replace Ortiz is a mammoth proposition. But if one guy can begin to do that, it's definitely going to be number 15. Ian, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this next one, but you might surprise me. So here we go. After a difficult 2016 season, which player should stand beneath the mistletoe with the Red Sox fan base to kiss and make up and hope for a fresh start in 2017?
I would say Pablo Sandoval after the last, was that who you were thinking of?
Absolutely,
also?
Absolutely.
Yeah, after the last, 2015, he really struggled. And then last year he came in pretty bad shape. And never really healthy. And, by all accounts, this guy's got himself in amazing shape. But some of these pictures that I've seen of him on social media platforms, it's just shocking, really, how hard he's worked and what he's done. His body, he just completely different shape body. And I think that Sandoval is going to have a big bounce back year, kind of similar to what Hanley Ramirez did last year.
Yeah, I agree. That would be tremendous for Red Sox Nation, and especially considering that it seems like the Red Sox are putting all their eggs in Pablo's basket with the trade of Yoan Moncada, the trade of Travis Shaw. It seems like it's Pablo or bust, and I know that there's been some skepticism that, he's done this before, meaning he's gotten overweight, he's worked the weight off, he's looked better, but then the weight always comes back. But it seems like something just this time around is different, whether it's his attitude, his mentality. Do you agree that he really has turned a corner and this is the Pablo we're going to see going forward?
Yeah, I mean, he's never played as bad as he did in 2015. And, been under that kind of scrutiny from fans like he was from Red Sox fans that year, and especially going into last year before he got hurt. So I think it was a big wake-up call. And like you said, he's got a young son now, and he wants his baby to think of his dad as a good baseball player. He wants to kind of reestablish himself, because he's got a little guy, which he didn't have before.
Yeah, Panda Jr. That's always a good way to motivate yourself when kids come in the picture. Now, my question, though, regarding the Panda nickname, is that still going to apply if he's a skinny Sandoval? Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. Maybe a smaller panda. But, that was always, I felt, more of a San Francisco thing than a Boston thing anyway. It really caught like wildfire there. So maybe we'll have to come up with a new nickname for Pablo this year.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that, and I think he would too. So Pablo is definitely the guy that, wants to kiss and make up with a fan base after a difficult, not just 2016, but like you said, really going back to 2015 when that contract kicked in with the Red Sox. Ian, question number 4, let's assume every player on the team is an 8-year-old boy. Which player is going to wake up the earliest on Christmas Day to be the first one to unwrap gifts?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would have to say Pedroia, because he's the first one there. He's the first one to the ballpark every day. So it's almost like every day of the baseball season. It's kind of like Christmas Day to him. I mean, he just can't wait. I haven't seen very few people with this kind of enthusiasm. He just can't wait to get to the ballpark every day. Each day he gets there, I think, the coaches are the only people who are there. So I'm sure that would apply on Christmas for him also.
I mean, is it just stunning to see him still do this, even as he creeps into his, mid-30s here in a year or two? I mean, this isn't some rookie, some unproven guy that's looking to impress the coaches. This is a guy that's, two rings, MVP, rookie of the year. What an example to set for the young guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, this guy hasn't lost any passion at all. And, he did a great job last year coming back from some injuries the previous couple of years, which sort of robbed him of some range the second year and robbed him of some power the year before that. And he just had his best year, I thought, in a long time this past year, where he was kind of he was back playing. He was back playing Gold Glove defense, really, and just back to who he always was before. It looked like a Dustin Pedroia's prime. So, like I said, this guy's not going to get outworked. It has been kind of an underplayed story last year, though, just how well he came back.
Yeah, with all the hoopla surrounding Ortiz in the second half by Hanley. And, you know, Porcello's year and David Price, Pedroia kind of got lost in that shuffle. And given Pedroia's makeup, Ian, do you think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder by not winning the Gold Glove, which went to Ian Kinsler this year?
I don't think that'll bother you. Dustin Pedroia, the chip on his shoulder he usually gets is from World Series ring. So I think any chip on his shoulder that he has will be from getting swept out of the playoffs. And like a lot of his teammates, you know, he didn't have a good series there against Cleveland. So I think that, that's going to be what's going to be on his mind coming through this year is to, make another deep playoff run like the Red Sox haven't had since 2013.
Yeah, Poppy retired with the three rings. Pedroia's got two. You know, he'd love to match his now former teammate in that all-important category, no question. Ian, final thing to wrap up as we transition from Christmas to New Year's, quite simply, what will the Boston Red Sox 2017 New Year's resolution be?
The New Year's resolution is just for the younger players to come up bigger in the pressurized moment of October. And that's really what this season is about. These guys were such a great story all year long. The one really black mark on that season was in the playoffs. The pressure seemed too big for Mookie and for Xander Bogaerts and for Jackie Bradley Jr. They kind of just didn't look like themselves. I think they were, they had never been in that situation. So I think just to handle that better when the toughest times come this year, be it in the regular season or, now that you don't have David Ortiz to carry such a big load, is to just handle those pressure moments a little bit better.
Yeah, I would agree. And it makes me laugh, though, that for as much as the young nucleus struggled, here's Andrew Benintendi, first career postseason at bat. No problem. Home run. So he acquitted himself well. He's part of that killer bees for the Red Sox in 2017. And we will see where it takes them as with the addition of Chris Sale. They are absolutely going to be a World Series favorite coming up in 2017. Ian Brown, great stuff as always. A happy holiday to you and your family. And we will talk again very soon, I'm sure. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Boston Red Sox.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.